Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
And now over to Lori Siebert here on Your Financial Choices.
Thank you so much, Seamus. Welcome to the show, everyone. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org under Public Affairs. Today is October 14th, 2020. The markets were down today with the Dow closing at 28,514, but last week was 28,303. The NASDAQ at 11,768, but last week was 11,364. The S&P closed down at 3,488, but last week was 3,419. So overall, from last week, we were up. Another positive way to look at things, which we'll learn tonight about being happy. Tonight, in our continuing series for Financial Planning Month, we will cover retirement planning and factoring in some longevity conversation as well. While we are live tonight, we are in our membership drive, so we will not be taking live calls this evening. You can always send questions through the website at yourfinancialchoices.com. Again, yourfinancialchoices.com. And of next week, we will be back live, so you could always send questions or write your questions down and bring them to us next week as well. My October topics for Financial Planning Month have been, last week we talked about what is financial planning and what is a financial advisor. Tonight we're going to talk about retirement planning and planning for longevity as part of that financial plan. Next week, October 21st, we're going to talk about removing the fear from moving forward with your estate planning with a special emphasis on digital assets with my guest attorney, Eric Strauss, from Worth McGee and Fisher. And then we're going to round up the end of the month, October 28th, with special circumstances in financial planning. And I've been curious as to what are yours. So I hope throughout the month that our listeners will share with me some of their special circumstances, confidentially, of course, through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. And I'd, you know, be happy to kind of highlight some areas that need to be navigated that we run into from time to time. And usually if you've had it, someone else may have a similar circumstance. So I would love to have some ideas for that. So again, that is through yourfinancialchoices.com, that website. And again, I will not share your personal information, but I really look forward to covering that show and that topic. So let's get started tonight. First, I just want to remind everyone, it is our membership drive. I get very excited about our membership drive because I love our listeners. So I really hope you listen to Seamus and the other volunteers when we're reaching out to you to help support our station. It's very important to us and the volunteers and the people who bring you all the information and programs that we do through WDIY. So remember to check the website, wdiy.org, if you'd like to make a pledge during the show tonight. Retirement planning. So retirement planning with an emphasis on longevity. I just want to first refer to a couple things before I totally get into the show, because these are sometimes the questions we get when people think about retirement planning. How much money are they going to be able to pull from their investments? And quite often you'll hear people say, well, I can take 4% from my investments. So I kind of wanted to just touch on that for a moment because of the particular topic this evening. So there was an article that was just published October 8th from Morningstar, and it was called The Reckonthaler Report, and it was called The Math for Retirement Income Keeps Getting Worse. And it's revisiting the 4% withdrawal rule. And the article says the good news for upcoming retirees is their investments have soared. And I'm paraphrasing the article. It has been a great time to own financial assets. The bad news is that as these investments become pricier, their yields have shrunk, which reduces the percentage of their value that retirees can withdraw during retirement. So then that makes us think. He also mentioned the 4% figure was popularized in 1994 by financial planner William Bengen in a book or article, Determining Withdrawal Rates Using Historical Data. And Mr. Reckenthaler goes on to say, when back-testing, Bengen found that portfolios that consisted 50% of stocks and 50% of bonds always survived at least 30 years at a 4% withdrawal rate, but sometimes went bust when the rate was increased to 5%. He goes on to talk about changing times. He says, I am no longer so confident. This is the author of this article, John Reckenthaler. He said, since 2013, investment conditions have changed dramatically. When my previous column was published back in 2013, the 30-year Treasury yield was 3.61%, and expected inflation was 2.32. So we're not really far off that inflation rate right now. That was me adding that. He also says investors therefore received a real expected payout of 1.29%. And today those figures are 1.42% and 1.76%, respectively. So the yield, 1.42, and inflation, 1.76, which implies a negative expected real return for 30-year treasuries. So he goes on to say it's difficult to finance withdrawals from portfolios. Now, the observation I have is that this gentleman was talking about Mr. Bengen's theory, which included a 50-50 portfolio, and he is kind of talking about the treasuries in particular. So I think it's just something that we have to keep on our radar, that when we talk about a 4% withdrawal rate that we sometimes hear people talking about in retirement, if that's all you're counting on or you're thinking that's how you're going to make it work, you may have to revisit sometimes your expectations or plans around how you're going to make your numbers go, okay? So that is one thing I wanted to mention. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention when we were talking about longevity is I looked up the life expectancy tables, and gosh, I think it was from Health and Human Services. Now I've forgotten where I got this. But we're looking at life expectancy tables, and in 2017, they anticipate that the life expectancy for various people has a range depending on if you're 65 or age 75. So what it always appears to be is the longer you live, it seems like the longer your longevity goes. But I think it's also really important when we're talking about retirement planning and longevity, and people say, oh, we're living longer, if we don't pay attention to who it is they're actually talking about. Is it a white male? Is it a someone from African American descent, or white, or Hispanic? Because there are different life expectancies, and I don't think we should discount that. So, for example, at age 65, a Hispanic woman, according to these tables, actually have the longest life expectancy at 22.7 at age 65. And at age 75, her life expectancy, this is 10 years later, has grown a little longer. It's now 14.7. Whereas a man, a white man at age 65, their life expectancy is 18 years, and at age 75, it's 11.2. And then there's the range in between. So it's important to understand life expectancy factors on our planning as well. So tonight, what I want to do is talk about life expectancy a bit, and also what retirement planning is. What is it? So when we come back from this next break, we will continue our discussion on retirement planning, what it is, and how longevity might factor into that. We'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to WDIY Allentown. This is Your Financial Choices, and we are taking just a minute here because it is our fall membership drive. This is one of the few times per year that we come to you to ask for your support so we can continue bringing you programs like Your Financial Choices. Your gift now is essential. We encourage you to go online to wdiy.org or call 610-758-8810. And we want to thank two donations that just came in, Catherine from Allentown and Megan from Columbia, New Jersey. And Megan says, thank you so much for all you do. Thank you so much, Megan and Catherine. If you can contribute now, we certainly would appreciate your contribution to help us continue our mission to bring you great information like we have here on Your Financial Choices. Again, the way to do that is wdiy.org or by calling 610-758-8810. 610-758-8810. The time is 6:11. We're going to bring back Lori Siebert here for more Your Financial Choices here on WDIY.
Thank you, Seamus, and thank you, listeners and folks who've called in with their pledges already or have gone online to pledge through wdiy.org. I like to support our listeners and especially those of Your Financial Choices. So I pledge to make a contribution. If we could raise, I would like to say, at least $250 during this COVID period. Usually I like to put out a challenge for a higher amount. I would love to say $1,000. I would love to say $500. But how about tonight we say during this hour, if we can have pledges of at least $250, that would be two at $125, or it could be, I'd have to divide, $250 divided by four. I can't do it in my head, $63. So how about $100 each? How about $100 each? If we could get four people to do $100, that would be great for the year. That's for the year, folks. And I will write a check to the station for $250 on top of my regular membership. So let's see if we can do that. So that is through 610-758-8810 or through wdiy.org and pledge online. Tonight we are talking about retirement planning with a little bit of an emphasis on longevity. So let's talk about first the retirement planning piece. What is it? I think it's something most of us don't think about until we're very close to it. I quite often have people coming in at age 60 saying, can I retire? So when they say, can I do that? I will have to ask, well, what do you plan to do in retirement? So they're going to ask, do I have enough money to fund my retirement? I'm going to say, what do you plan to do in retirement? There's a big difference between people who want to travel around the world and those people who want to sit in their backyard and watch the sunset. That would be me. So whether or not you will have enough money to retire is depends on your resources and how you spend money, basically. So once we determine your goals, we need to analyze how you're going to get there. So the longer runway we have, the more options we have. And one thing I love talking to people about are options. I really think it just gives you so much more freedom knowing that you can pivot if you need to. So the longer we have before you retire, that's what I mean by a longer runway, then the more options you're going to have. So rather than waiting until you're ready to retire to think about planning for retirement, let's think about it another way. Giving yourself as many options as you can with what you currently have. So, for example, I could tell you that you'll need $1 million to fund your retirement goals. But if you can barely get, I'm making that number up, but in my example, if you can barely get by on what you're making now, how can you accomplish accumulating $1 million to fund your retirement goals? So I think instead, let's check in with reality and talk about what we can control and what options we have. So what can we control? We might not be able to control our longevity. So let's, but if we know what to anticipate for our longevity that will help us plan for our retirement. So what is your family history? Number two, what do you have now as far as assets and liabilities? Three, of your assets and liabilities, are you getting the best return or the lowest cost you can within your own risk tolerance and creditworthiness? Four, what do you have as income sources, and are they protected? Are they protected with disability or life insurance? Five, how are your feelings about leaving assets to your heirs, or do you expect to inherit? Which, you know, asterisks on that, never, never count on an inheritance. Number six, long-term care becomes an issue. So let's talk. What's your family history? Longevity probably has more to do with genes, and you can help that by making healthy choices, of course. So there are some points from an article from the WebMD archives in September 2019 that I would like to kind of highlight. And the article was called, Is 100 the New 80? And What's It Take to Live Longer? So this is from the WebMD archives from September of 2018, and it's a neat article, and it highlights a woman named Laura Bridges who celebrated her 100th birthday, and I'm not going to go into the details of that. I'm just going to read some of the highlights. And the article says, these days, while statistical life expectancy in the U.S. is about 80 years, now remember at the top of the show I talked about the different life expectancies depending on, you know, your background and your male-female type of thing. So if the life expectancy is about 80 years, living well into one's 80s or 90s is a perfectly realistic expectation for many. The article goes on, as centenarians' numbers grow, researchers want to know what separates them from those who live the average expected 80 years. Of course, you can't underestimate the value of exercise, a good diet, and other healthy choices, but studies show genes are pretty important too. They have said longevity runs in families. Many of the exceptionally long-lived people developed age-related illnesses such as cancer, heart disease, diabetes, osteoporosis, and stroke up to 24 years after the average age for developing these conditions. So our centenarians, our octogenarians, they develop these diseases up to 24 years after the average age for developing these conditions. They don't just live longer, they live healthier, and maybe that's why they live longer, this doctor in the study had said. A follow-up to this study found that children of long-lived people tend to have lower rates of age-related diseases, too. And I want to remember to come back to that. Improvements in public health, such as reduced pollution, discovery of antibiotics, development of vaccines, improvement in education, and lifestyle changes have all added to life expectancy. And in the last 20 years, aggressive treatment of high blood pressure and high cholesterol have helped, too. Keeping up with your friends seems to contribute to aging well. And maybe of all these things, this is all from this article, a healthy lifestyle, rewarding relationships make a person happy. Either way, happiness seems to be a predictor of longevity. So let's talk about our retirement planning, and we have to factor in longevity. Number one, does longevity run in your family? Because it looks like if it runs in your family and your parents have longevity, statistically, you will as well. If you're someone who has friends, lots of friends, chances are you could have also some longer, some longevity. And if you're happy, and do you hear me smiling? I am trying to be very happy these days. So I think that's something we can all work on, work toward. Folks, we are talking about retirement planning with a little bit of an emphasis on longevity, and we're going to talk about what you can control versus just talking about a number that you want to hit. When we come back from this next break, we will continue our discussion, and we will lead into your assets. What do you have as far as your assets and liabilities? We will be back in just a moment.
I'm Dory from Allentown. I became a member because I appreciate all the programming, both the music and the news programs. It's nice to be able to go to a radio station that I trust what I'm being told. I think part of it is growing up, public broadcasting was something that you could trust. Or many times that I'm sitting in my driveway because what I was listening to when I pulled into the driveway is very interesting, and I want to find out the rest of the story. And your financial choices, another program. Some people have more zeros in their world and can give more financially. Some people don't have any zeros, can give of their time. If nobody does, then you guys won't be here. And the things that you believe in and part of that support, certainly not all of it, but part of that support needs to be financial, and you need to give where you can.
This is WDIY's Fall Membership Drive, and you just heard a message there from one of our members out in Allentown, Dory, giving a great reason why she listens to and supports WDIY. If any of that rings true, if you sit in your car and you want to hear the end of the story, or if you trust the information and news that you get on WDIY and Lehigh Valley Public Radio, if you're a fan of programs like this, Your Financial Choices, now's the time we're asking for your support, because we rely on member support in order to bring you these programs. And I know Lori, who is calling in tonight for the show, certainly appreciates hearing her listeners come through and support us. So we hope that you'll help Lori along the way in supporting the station here and making that extra contribution that she was talking about. So we'll throw it back to Lori and keep the show going. But as you listen, please support us if you haven't already during this fall membership drive. It really is a crucial time and the most important fundraiser of the year for us. The way to give is wdiy.org, wdiy.org. Click the donate button, or you can call 610-758-8810. And we'll be back in the next break to update you on any donations we receive. We'd love for you to be among them. Again, wdiy.org or 610-758-8810.
Thank you, Seamus, and thank you, Dory, for that wonderful message. I have to tell you, I got emotional listening to it, so really appreciate that that perspective as well. So thank you, Dory, for taking the time to make that message, and I hope our listeners take the time to go on WDIY.org and click the button to donate now as well. I would love if we could raise at least $250 during the show. $400 would be great, and if you can do even more, that would be really exciting. And as Seamus mentioned, that's at WDIY.org, 610-758-8810. Let's continue talking about retirement planning. It is so important. So we've talked a little bit about longevity and that that could mean a very different timeline for all of us, for each of us. Don't make assumptions. Kind of look at the factors that apply to you, your longevity of your family. Are you happy? Do you have friends? Do you take care of yourself? Do you have healthy choices? And, you know, warding off disease and things like that. I think everyone's surprised, my family, knock on wood, six kids in the family. My mother's 90 years old. We all go to the doctor, and they say, what medication are you on? And we all say, none. And, you know, we're in range in ages from, you know, 56 to 66. And, you know, we just think it's normal, but I guess it's not always normal. So try to take good care of yourselves. So let's talk about being happy, that's always important. So let's talk about how long do we think we'll be in retirement? So you can ask how much you'll need, but it is probably more important to know what you have to guide you in what your next steps will be. If you told me you needed $42,000 a year in retirement, that might not sound too bad. That might sound like, you know, okay, you know, in your working years, $42,000 you might need in retirement, kind of similar to maybe what you had when you were working. And if you have Social Security to supplement that or a pension, it does make it easier to make those numbers, because then you might not need the full $42,000 from your portfolio because you could use some of your Social Security or some of your pension, and now maybe that's $20,000, and then you would only need your portfolio to deliver another $22,000 to you. So in order to do that, let's say you needed $42,000. It's above your Social Security. You want $42,000 on top of that. Saving about $50,000 a year for 15 years at 3% gets you about $1 million. So if you're age 50 today and you could save $50,000 a year for 15 years, retire at 65, you're going to have a nest of about $1 million. That sounds like a lot of money. But I think saving $50,000 a year sounds like a lot of money. But at a 4% payout over 30 years, like if you live another 30 years from 65 to 95, that's, you know, $3,500 a month, that's your $42,000. And I, you know, use like 3% rate of return and 2% inflation. So you see why it's important to understand the numbers. Bottom line, you need a really big number to give you a small number to make it. So it all depends on the rates of return, inflation, your timeline. So how can we help ourselves? Remember, retirement planning, more than thinking about that number in the future, what can we do to help ourselves today? So I think it's really critical to understand what you have now as far as assets and liabilities. You want to take the time to think about this. I think it is critical, and if you don't take the time to think about it right now, you are behind the eight ball. So I say this often, take an inventory of your assets and liabilities, but do the next thing with it. How much are you making on those assets? How much are those liabilities costing you? So you make an inventory. Start with the simplest things or the most liquid things, and this comes from my accounting background. The most liquid things, your bank account, your savings account. Then if you have an investment account or a brokerage account, we would call that, something that's not tied up in a retirement plan. Those are the more liquid. The cash is the most liquid. Mutual funds and stock, it's not like it used to be years ago where it would take a while to sell that. Those positions, now you can turn those over pretty quickly, so they're fairly liquid. Your retirement accounts, put this on your asset sheet. Your retirement accounts at work, those aren't as liquid. The underlying investments might be liquid, but your ability to grab that money isn't as liquid because there's rules around retirement accounts. Your employer may not let you take the money out of the retirement account while you're working. The IRS might not like you taking money out of the retirement account while you're working if you're under a particular age. There could be penalties for taking that money out, but you still have it as an asset. It's available. Remember, we're trying to think about what we can do for retirement, for our future. Maybe you have some savings bonds. Savings bonds, somewhat liquid. You can walk into the bank typically and cash those if they're EE bonds. If they're HH bonds, which, you know, we can't even get anymore, those might not be as liquid. You might have to mail those in. What are other kind of assets? Your house, personal property in your house. So we want to look at those and then think about how do we make money on them? What kind of money do we make on that? What kind of tax rate do we pay on those? What kind of risk are we taking with them? So as we go through the rest of the show, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. This is kind of high level tonight to talk about what we want to pay attention to in getting ready for our retirement and what can we control. I've had other shows where we talk maybe just about retirement accounts or just about cash flow, so you can certainly find those on the website, wdiy.org, under Public Affairs if you're interested in drilling down on the details on those. But I'm emphasizing tonight, in retirement planning, we have to know what you're starting with, all right? So we are at the halfway point, and we are in our pledge drive. If you have questions, you can send those through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. But we hope that you call in and pledge at 610-758-8810 or at WDIY.org. Back to you, Seamus.
The time is 6:30. Thank you, Lori. Quick check, Lehigh Valley weather, 65 degrees and fair currently. Tonight, clear, then patchy fog, a low around 47 degrees. Tomorrow, Thursday, patchy fog, then sunny, a high near 75. And Thursday night, we're going to see partly cloudy, then a slight chance of showers, low of 53. On Friday, showers are looking likely. 70% chance of showers on Friday, high near 62. Those showers continue Friday night with a low around 41. Saturday, chance of showers, then sunny, high near 60. And Saturday night looks clear, but we're going to see patchy frost with a low around 37. As Lori just mentioned, we are in our fall membership drive. As you listen, please support at WDIY.org or call 610-758-8810. Again, 610-758-8810. And we'd love to give you a thank you over the air if you choose. You don't have to get the thank you on the air, but we always love when that happens. And we want to give a thank you right now to another contributor, Otis from Easton. Thank you so much, Otis. I think that's number 3 here for Lori's show, and we'll have to see if we have hit Lori's magic number of $250. But thank you to everybody who gave. We want to hear from a few more of you out there. Let Lori know that you're listening and you appreciate her expertise and her time every week here on Your Financial Choices. Again, the way to do that is WDIY.org or calling 610-758-8810. And back to you, Lori.
Thank you, Seamus, and thank you, listeners, and thank you, Otis from Easton. I love hearing from the east side as well. I like hearing from everywhere in the Lehigh Valley because our signal is strong and it is out there. And let folks around you and your friends and neighbors know that tuning in to 88.1, you get local information, you get NPR information and local programming and local music and musicians. It's great. And we appreciate your giving, and as Seamus mentioned, if we get at least $250, I would love to get way more than that, so feel free to give more, but I will make a contribution of an extra contribution of $250 if we hit at least $250 tonight, so that would be really great. We're talking about retirement planning tonight and a little bit about longevity. Bottom line, the earlier you start, obviously, the better. It's not too late ever. So start as soon as you can, and there are certain things that you can do. I don't want it to be overwhelming for people. If you haven't been able to kind of focus on your own financial life, although most of our listeners do, I think most of our listeners, we have such sophisticated listeners at WDIY, smart listeners, but if it's something that you're finding yourself having a hard time doing, start with one thing. You know, open up a pad of paper and just write down what assets you know off the top of your head. If you don't know how to go into your 401k account and look at your balance because you haven't done it for 10 years and you can't remember the password, you know, maybe you have an idea of what your house is worth or what your bank account is worth and your savings account. So make a list. And when we talk about what they're making for you, that's where you're going to start helping yourself in your own retirement planning. So, for example, savings bonds, people still sometimes have those. A lot of people don't realize that there are folks who still have savings bonds. My husband and I have savings bonds. When we were first starting out, he did it through payroll deduction at work and accumulated quite a bit of savings bonds. And those savings bonds could have different rates of return that they're paying, and it's really important to do an inventory on those. You can go to treasurydirect.gov, and do a calculator putting in, and you don't even have to put in the whole serial number. Basically, you just need the denomination, if it's an EE, and the date. And it will give you the value, the interest rate, the maturity date. I like putting in the serial number because it helps you know when to cash them. You know, if you have a list, you can cross them off. But some savings bonds still might be paying 4%, but you might find that some aren't even paying 1%. Well, when we're talking about how we can help ourselves and looking at our assets, if we find out that we have a whole slew of savings bonds that are barely earning anything, and I have credit card debt of, you know, that I'm paying 25% on, it might be worth it for you to cash those savings bonds. Okay? So this is kind of how we have to start thinking. What are our assets doing for us? So savings bonds, that's interest income, not subject to tax in Pennsylvania, subject to tax for federal. Interest on our bank accounts, it's all ordinary income. And that kind of asset, that kind of income, is going to give us, it's subject to a higher tax rate than maybe we might have from things like stock, you know, our dividends. Dividends quite often are considered qualified dividends. It depends. Qualified dividends qualify for a lower tax rate. So when we're looking at what kind of income we're getting off of our assets, we want to look at an after-tax cost to see if that is worth having. So if I have a savings account with, you know, $300,000 in it that's earning nothing, and I have a credit card with $20,000 on it at a 24% interest rate, it makes sense to, you know, it could make sense to pay that credit card off, all right? So we talked about what kind of income our assets make. Another asset we have that's appreciating, hopefully, would be our home. Not always. They don't always appreciate, but the goal is hopefully over time, if we're going to have our house, you know, for a decent period of time, generally there is appreciation on that. And if we live and own our home at least 2 out of the 5 years, we don't have to pay income tax on that appreciation when we sell it. If we're single and the gain isn't more than $250,000, or if we're married, filing joint, and the gain isn't more than $500,000. That's a whole boatload of appreciation not to pay tax on. So when people talk about home ownership being a great way to wealth, a good path to wealth, there is a lot behind that. So we want to think about, does that make sense? That could make sense. And then, therefore, the debt, when we're looking at the debt and what kind of debt we have and what are our liabilities costing us, the cost of a mortgage for our home may be well worth that, in that we see so much appreciation in our homes and that it's tax-free. Other kinds of debt, I already mentioned credit cards, costs us a heck of a lot of money. If you can avoid it at all costs, that's what you want to do. So once you get this on paper, you know what you have. You've got your assets. You kind of know what kind of returns you have on them. Do a little inventory of that, a little review of your accounts, your retirement accounts, if you do have access to those online. If you never look online, then try to get those in paper if you can, and have an idea of what your retirement accounts are giving you. If you started working somewhere and you never made an investment selection, then they may have defaulted you to a very conservative allocation. You need to know that. That is something very important you need to address right away. If you don't know how to get on to your accounts at work, call HR. Ask them what they do, what to do. There will be someone who can help you to make sure that you know how to look at your retirement accounts and, you know, how to see how you're invested, how you're allocated. Maybe you were invested, you know, 10 years ago and then you got nervous and took yourself out and you forgot to ever go back in. You want to make sure you're reviewing that regularly. So know how much your assets are earning you and at what kind of tax consequence. Is it ordinary income taxes? Is it capital gains tax rate? Or is it kind of tax-free growth, which you could get on a principal residence, for example? Or is it dream income? I just made this up. Is it dream income? Meaning you invest your money in tchotchkes or paraphernalia or collectibles that you think someday are going to be worth something. Are they really going to be? Had a friend whose mother collected all kinds of I can't even recall what it was, ceramic figurines, worth a ton of money, he thought. Well, they could hardly give them away 20 years later. So, or I should say 50 years later, could hardly give them away. So sometimes those things you're buying really may not be worth it, and you need to have, you know, a talk with yourself, look in the mirror, and say, do I really need to be putting my money into something that may never, you know, result in anything? All right? So understand tax cost. So through these situations, you try to make things better. So stay focused, pay attention to what you're doing, and kind of engage with yourself a little bit. And a step at a time, if it's too hard for you and you feel like you haven't done it in the past, do it now. Think about retirement. The more you do today, because I just said to someone today, the closer you get to retirement, the earlier you want to retire. As you get older, all of a sudden, you just don't have the same energy as you did when you were in your 30s. And you've got to think about it now while you're young and have the energy to kind of start saving. I did have someone send in a question about refinancing, and I thought this really would have been, if I can kind of cover it in this time, it's a wonderful example about trying to take control and of what you can. And the story is they had a mortgage. They bought a home in May of 2018 and got an interest rate of 4.5%, and they've been making their monthly payments to it. The mortgage was $140,000. It's now $136,000. And husband has a great credit rating. Wife is working on her credit rating. Should they refinance? But the question was, should they refinance in order to free up funds for saving for retirement? So if you can stick with me through this question, I thought it was interesting. But the question was, should we refinance to lower our monthly payment, therefore that ideally, then they would have more money each month in their pocket that they thought they could save for retirement. And is that a good idea? Well, I think refinancing could be a very good idea, especially in today's rates, because the rates are quite low. There's some good credit scores going here. We got 20% equity, at least in the home. So my thought is, what about considering refinancing, hopefully to get a lower rate, but maybe a shorter term? And why I thought that is, generally, if you go to a shorter term, you may qualify for a lower mortgage rate. And if you go to a shorter term, sometimes you do risk having a little bit of a bigger payment monthly. And in the case, I ran these numbers, so this person would go from a $709 principal and interest mortgage payment, I'm not factoring in the escrow, $709 monthly payment would go to $786. So not a whole lot more per month, but they cut their, I'll tell you what the goal was, that in 8 years they would sell their house. Well, in 8 years, if they stay with what they have, their mortgage balance at 4.5%, 30-year loan, their mortgage balance would be $110,000. If they go to a, $115,000 maybe. I apologize. I'm getting mixed up in my numbers here. I'm going to say it was $115,000 in 8 years, I think it would be. If they did 30 years at 4.5%, by the end of 2028, their mortgage would be $110,000. In the 20-year scenario, if they went to 23 years at 3.5%, their mortgage would be $92,000 in 8 years. All right, so that could be a big difference. And I'm getting lost in my numbers, so I want to stop talking about the numbers, but it could make a big difference to go to a shorter term. But here's another spin on this. If they're worried about maybe having enough cash flow, one thing you could do is refinance, see if you can get the 3.5% rate on a 30-year mortgage, but instead of paying that lower amount, the $709, pay a higher amount. That way, you've still locked into a lower rate, you're still paying it off a little faster, and over time, you will lower the amount of interest that you've paid, which means you put more on the principal balance, and you're still in a good position. So just little tricks of what you can do to control your situation to help yourself. Folks, we are at the last break. I've gone a little over. Seamus, back to you.
Hello, this is Renee Montaigne. If WDIY relied on commercials for most of its money, we could try to bring you the same amount of news and all the local programs, Your Financial Choices, The Blend, WDIY Classics, but this probably would not happen. The business model for public radio is listener support. Listener support means that this is radio about you, for you, and by you. NPR and WDIY rely on listeners to make this station possible. We're relying on you to make a contribution right now, not tomorrow, right now. So please call 610-758-8810 or give online at WDIY.org. That's WDIY.org, and thank you.
This is our fall membership drive here at WDIY, and we're always thankful that some of the NPR hosts have taken time out of their day to make those messages for us. And we want you to listen to them because they drive home the point that public radio relies on you. And we come through and add these great local programs like Your Financial Choices. Every week, Lori lends her expertise to you, and if you want that to stick around, now's the time to show your support by becoming a member of the station. Membership starts at $60 for the year. You can also become a sustaining member of the station. Give $10 a month or $10 every other month. That amount is automatically charged to your credit card or deducted from your bank account. It is an easy way to support us as a sustaining member, and we love our sustaining members of the station. So please, if you've never given, support your listening now at WDIY.org or call 610-758-8810. I'll read that number one more time, 610-758-8810. The time is 6:48, and we're going to go back to Lori Siebert now with Your Financial Choices. Hey, Lori.
Thank you, Seamus. Think if someone gives $10 a month, that's $120 a month or a year. That's not too much to ask for the programming that we bring to you each and every week. And if we have two people do that, plus our prior donors, Otis and Margaret, and there was one other one, I apologize, I don't remember the name, we'll be at that $250 that will trigger me to write a check for $250. So thank you, listeners, and I hope you come through, and I hope we are able to announce it by the end of the show that we did indeed raise $250. It's very critical in these times, as all of you know. So those who can give, please do so. Talking about retirement planning, sorry I got caught up in my example. I was kind of talking off the top of my head. So in that mortgage example, I just was going to let you know, at the end of 2028, for someone who stayed with a 4.5% rate 30 years, in 2028, their mortgage balance would be $110,000. If they lowered their rate, kept the payment at 30 years, so they lowered their monthly payment. In 2028, their balance, mortgage balance at the end of 2028 would be, you know, $112,000 because they lowered their payment. And then, but they would have a little bit more money in the bank. But if you lowered your rate and your payment term, you're paying a little bit more, your mortgage balance would be $92,000. But again, you'd be out of pocket a little bit extra money. So lots of ways to look at this. And what I love is that this person was being proactive in trying to think of what they could do. Let's talk about resources in retirement. Your resources now that are going to help fund the retirement, and then, of course, some resources that you'd have in retirement as well. So right now, if you're working, you haven't retired yet, you're working, that's your resources. But your investments are also a resource. And I always say, if the more you save, then if you're investing, your investments are working for you right alongside you while you're working. So every day you go to work, and your investments are working there too, just, you know, say hi to them in the morning, and at the end of the day, come check and see how they did and what work they produced for you. So when you're working, you're making money. The big trick is to spend less than you make. Sounds easier than, you know, said than done, but people who know how much they're spending are usually the people who have money. So if you don't have a way to track how you're spending, try to implement something, whether it's a budget app, we talked about that several weeks ago, or the funnel method, which I think we also talked about weeks ago, a way to track how you're spending. Spend less than you're making. That's how you save. Then your savings can help earn money for you towards your retirement. Another way, when we talked about free things, free money, company matches, this is also a no-brainer. As long as you have cash flow that allows you to make contributions to an employer plan, if you work for a company that has an employer plan, and if that employer provides a company match, it's just something you really have to work really hard to make sure you're getting. A little hint, though, for folks who try to load that up front. So I've had people who say, I'm just going to do right all at the beginning of the year, and I'm going to do, 10% a month, and, 7 months into the year, they have fully funded their retirement account. Well, if you're getting a company match, sometimes you're going to hurt yourself and you may not get the full company match. So generally, it's probably preferable to do it evenly throughout the year, so something to pay attention to. Of course, if you're at the end of the year and you found out you haven't done anything, you could still jump on still yet. We're at October 14th. You could sign up to make some contributions to your retirement plan and get the company match through the end of the year if that's available. In talking about resources that are available, something to think about, too, when we think about retirement is your Social Security benefit. Social Security is based on your work record, and they look at the highest 35 years. So you may think about retiring, but when you look at your Social Security statement, you see that you only had maybe 25 years and, you want to retire already. That is certainly going to impact the Social Security benefit that they have illustrated for you if you retire early. So don't, forget about that. If you retire earlier than what Social Security has projected for you, that could impact your future payment. Typically, when I'm doing financial planning for people, if they tell me they want to retire at 60 and they give me their illustration, which Social Security would assume you're going to continue making the amount of money that you are now until those retirement years, then you have to adjust for it. So that could be something to think about, too. If I'm working and I look at my work record and I don't really have 35 high years, in fact, maybe 5 of those years are pretty low of the 35, but maybe I'm making a lot of money now. Can I hang on for a few more years? Can I work for a few more years? That might help my Social Security benefit in my retirement. So that's something you can do. Pensions, a lot of us don't have any control over that. Companies have them or they don't. Some companies have frozen them. And what you would possibly have an option for in your retirement years is what pension election you choose. And you need to understand these. And some people go in and make these irrevocable decisions without thinking. I have a client right now. A husband chose a single life before they worked with me, a single life option. His pension's about $45,000 a year, and if something happens to him, it's gone for his wife, for his surviving wife. It would be gone, $45,000 out of her cash flow budget. You might think, well, gosh, why did he do that? Well, I think he thought he'd buy this life insurance policy that was called pension maximization. That was the thing back when. Well, he bought this life insurance policy so long ago when he retired so long ago, but he didn't think about the cost of that life insurance policy. And that premium is going from, I think, $8,000 to $63,000 this next year. That is a hard what's the saying? A hard thing to chew, okay? So you've got to be careful about your decisions. When we talk about options that we want people to have in their retirement, you want to follow all the threads. Think it through. All right, so think about what resources you have now and what resources you're going to have in retirement and what that's going to look like projected out. Very important to pay attention to your investment allocation, as you heard at the top of the call. What a difference it can make if someone is so conservative that they're all bonds versus some other allocation or exposure to equities. That certainly is going to impact the future growth on your portfolio. You have to talk with your advisor, talk about your risk tolerance, talk about how much risk you can, you know, handle. Maybe you think you're very comfortable with your particular asset allocation, but you've never rebalanced, and now it is totally out of whack. You don't want to be caught off guard. The more equity exposure you have, the more you're going to feel that volatility in the market. We're getting close to the end of the show, so I need to wrap up my last couple comments, which one was, how do you feel about leaving assets to your heirs? That could make a big difference in your retirement planning. I have people who say they don't need to leave anything to their children, and I have other people who will just scrimp and scrap and save every penny to leave more to their own children for whatever reason it is. That projection for someone's retirement plan in these two very different cases would be very different. If you can tap not just the income off the portfolio, but the principal as well. We call that total return when we're looking at the income and the appreciation on a portfolio. If you're going to leave assets to your children or not, makes a big difference on the draw that you can take on that portfolio. You need to factor that in. Do you expect an inheritance? Again, I tell people, never count on it. Anyone can change their mind at any moment, and you never know what expenses someone else might have. So don't count on an inheritance, but you know, it could be that for that special maybe dream vacation you always thought you were going to have, put that in that category maybe. Something that you don't necessarily need, that could come from that. Long-term care, big cost concern. So many different options might be out there. I expect to see changes in the future. I think with the recent pandemic, we're going to see more in-law suites, multi-generational living arrangements. I think we could see changes in healthcare legislation, you know, as this becomes more important to people. We've already seen shifts in long-term care. A lot of people don't like paying out of pocket for long-term care insurance because it's expensive. The industry pivoted and came up with hybrid products where you can get kind of a combination life insurance, long-term care. There are more, I would say, in-home care opportunities for people. There are services that will come into your home and provide care, not necessarily medical care, but assistance. So lots of changes coming in that in the future. Folks, I hope you learned a little bit tonight. I hope we've inspired you to start planning your own retirement and take a few tips and take that first step to work toward securing the retirement that you want. Next week, taking the fear out of estate planning with an emphasis on digital assets, and that's going to be with attorney Eric Strauss. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. I thank Seamus for being here and helping out with the show. I hope we meet our goal and we do the $250 match tonight. Remember, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week and go online to wdiy.org and pledge support to this wonderful station. Seamus, thank you.
Thank you so much, Lori. That was Your Financial Choices here on WDIY. The time is 7 o'clock. And we want to give another thank you to Carolyn from Sailorsburg. Thank you so much, Carolyn. And that actually gets us to that $250 target that Lori was trying to reach. So thank you very much to your Financial Choices contributors this evening. We encourage you to join them 610-758-8810 or going online to wdiy.org and support your listening. In the Tradition is next with your guest host, Norm Williams.